can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at the first mom that's created. And I want to go to Genesis chapter 2 and talk about Eve a little bit this morning because, as I mentioned, sometimes I think you're, from my observation at least, Mom, you're sort of hard on yourselves. And I think that I just want to put that in perspective today to say, you know what, we look at you all as doing a great job, and we don't expect you to be perfect. There's no perfect people. And so that's kind of where we're coming from this morning. And hopefully this will encourage you today before we're through. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Remember that phrase. Every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then skip down to verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Now remember this phrase too. He said, the day you shall eat of it you shall surely die. So it was pleasant to look at and good for food. And it was also, he said, the only stipulation he put on it is if you eat it. If you eat it. Now skip down to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said... And by the way, if you don't know, this is how woman got her name. God put Adam to sleep, made this beautiful woman, brought her back to Adam and said, what do you want to name her? And he said, whoa, man. Just, that's deep there, isn't it? Whoa, man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. I think that's where you get your nurturing, built-in, innate nurturing trait is, you know, you were taken out of man. We were just, you know, when you wonder where what we're thinking and how we come to these conclusions, just remember, we got our start out of the dirt. You got your start out of a human being. And so just give us a break sometimes. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother. And remember, this hadn't happened yet, so this is just the plan of God. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they both were naked, and he and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat. Now watch what she said, nor shall you touch it. Is that what God said? No, he said, in the day you eat. Now, there's something here that I want to give you this morning, Mom. Sometimes, and I think this fits the mold very well, we look at God when we think we failed, we look at Him differently. We look at Him and put Him in a more judging light than He really is. Now, I know there's a balance in that, but I just want you to understand here, He didn't say if you touch it, you'll surely die, but... She, in her mind, and here's what's so powerful, whenever you and I think something is true, most of the time for us, it is true. Are you with me? And here's what I want you to get from this. This is where I want to give you a happy Mother's Day. Probably sometimes when you feel like you've missed the mark, you may feel like that, you know what, God is not pleased with me and I've overstepped. And what we do is sometimes we have this judgmental view of who God is, and we make him more judgmental than he really is. That's called guilt. It's called condemnation. And how many knows where that comes from? It doesn't come from the throne. It comes from Satan. It could come up from our own environment that we grew up in. You know, if you've been judged and people around you have been very judgmental and all, it could come from that place. But it will not come from God. And so what I'd like to give you for a happy Mother's Day is, you know what? Don't put more emphasis on God judging you than he did. Don't put more emphasis on doing what God said. Don't add your own flair just to make it seem like that he's more judgmental than he is. How many knows God loves you this morning? He sent his son for you to die for you. And so that you could have, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, mom, and that you might have it more abundantly. And you ought to just receive that today and say, you know what? I'm not perfect. He knew I wasn't perfect when Jesus came. He knows I won't be perfect when I leave this place. But when I get to where he is, I will be. And until then, he's made grace. He's given me his son. He's made provisions. And so I'm okay. Look over at the mom. Tell him today, you're okay. Tell him this. We love you just the way you are. We know, you know, you aggravate us to death, but we love you just like that. I know, just couldn't leave it alone, could I? So she's adding to, and sometimes I think we just add to, and we see God in a more judgmental light than we should, and don't do that this year. Make that your Mother's Day creed today. So you know what? God is, he's made provisions for me. He loves me. I've got a great relationship with him. And you know, Philip and I were talking in the prayer meeting, and he said, the great commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I said, you know, well, the great commandment, is to love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So don't forget to love yourself. Sometimes you're the last on the totem pole of love, you know, and you're selfless sometimes. So don't forget this year to love yourself, especially today. And if your family forgets to help you love yourself, just help them, train them up and let them know, hey, it's time to love on me today. I didn't get my wife flowers this year, but I did get her something green and she loved it. She called me and she says, how do you get in our safe? I forgot the code. And how much can I get? And she said, this is what I got. And I said, really? Happy Mother's Day. So if it's not flowers that makes you, ask mom, what makes you happy? She came home with a whole load of stuff, just smiling big. Happy Mother's Day. Ask them. And so you got to help them. You know, she just helped me. She was probably more generous than maybe I would have been, and that's okay. Happy Mother's Day. Come on now. Come on. Your mama brought you into this world. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. And I can just imagine, it doesn't say, but I can just imagine the serpent standing there eating this fruit, because he will live forever. Actually, he'll die forever, but at this point in time, you know, he's running to and fro seeking whom he may devour. He's the God of the heavens, and so he has access to this planet and the heavens. He can go before the throne, and I can just see him, standing there enjoying this fruit. This tree of life and of knowledge of good and evil. He knows what good and evil is because he's crossed that threshold in heaven and been cast down. And so one of the things I want you to remember here, when you're missing the mark, a lot of times it starts with words that are in your, that are either comes from satanic spirits, or it comes through, like I said, your environment growing up, but anytime there's a condemning word and it's always going to be there, and it could be anything. You know, maybe some of you went out and had a shopping spree, or you will, and you know, there may be a voice in your head Buy it. You can't afford it. Buy it. You need to get the kids up. Buy it. You know, and that's just a simple little thing. But all of those voices that you hear, you know, forgive them or well, they overlooked you. So, but get over it. You know, there's all these voices and everything, every temptation, every trial, every time we miss the mark. Remember, it's going to start with a voice. It's going to start with a voice. That's why, Mom, I just want to encourage you. Just know what this says. If you know what this says, my son was here this last week, and most of you know he's, you know, kind of changed on us and doesn't see God by faith like he did. And so every time we had a discussion this week when he was around me, he'd say, well, you know, Christians think, and I said, the Bible says. I mean, it don't matter what a Christian says. It matters what the Bible says. And if you want to win out and not miss the mark so much this year, let me just give you a happy month. Just get the Word and just stand on the Word the best you can. And boy, I tell you, most of the time you'll hit the mark. Because how many knows the Word? He said it's correct. It's truth. It's absolute truth. But she started by hearing the wrong voice, entertaining the wrong voice. This is the voice. This is the voice we should listen to and hear. Verse 5, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. You'll be like God. And here's a supernatural being talking to her. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Good and evil. Now watch. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, remember in verse 9 of chapter 2, every tree was good for food. Every tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the sight. But she said that when she saw that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. And so here's what I want you to get. She started, when she's looking at it, she starts with the truth. Did you know most of the time when we fall, there's an element of truth in it? You know, if you're going to give a devout Christian, if you're going to get them to miss the mark, the first thing you need to do is give them an element of truth. Whenever Satan came to Jesus, he'd always get, you'll jump off this cliff. He said he'll give his angels charge over you, and you won't dash your foot against a stone. Turn these stones into bread. He'd give you the power. He always started with truth, but it didn't fit the context nor the time or the situation, and Jesus knew everything that he gave him that started with truth was going to wind up being evil. So you can't just know part of the truth. That's why we need to grow in this truth and learn this truth so we can walk in purity and we won't walk in condemnation. And a tree desirable to make one wise. How many would just say, you know what, if I had a choice this morning and if I could go back to the old, this first system that God created and I wouldn't know what evil was, I would choose that one. Wouldn't that be a great system to live under where you don't have knowledge of evil? Now, we'd have a problem with that. You'd have all your clothes off walking around. We'd say, get your clothes on. And you'd say, why? Why? See, the lust of the eye, that didn't come under the new covenant. They walked with God every day, and they didn't know. They weren't ashamed. Just in case you're wondering, well, we go back to the new covenant, the first system set up where we walk around naked in heaven. No, you'll have a white robe, the last I read. And hopefully he'll give us a new body that we're just proud of, right? Pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You're talking about powerful. I'm not sure Satan could have done that, but Eve could. Listen, what an influence you are on your family. You will never know the influence that you are. I don't think most of you ever realize the influence you are over your family. And you know why? You know why? Because all the thousands of little things that you do for your family that you probably forget. The bandage, the taking up for, the sticking up for them when they need somebody to stick, the encouragement when you saw them discouraged. All the thousands of little things that you do, man, that's you create a bond. So she took the fruit and she gave it to Adam, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Here's what it is. When we walk in disobedience, all of a sudden we begin to see the shame of it, and we try to cover up. Philip said this morning, said, did you see on the news Spencer Holt stole a Zamboni from the, and they arrested him. I said, I saw that. And then when you come in, your hair's cut, and you look a lot like the one on TV there. Just a thought. You might want to let it grow back out or something. I almost took a picture and texted it to you, and somebody already did. But that wasn't our little Spencer. He's a good boy. Amen. And if it had been, he wouldn't steal. He was just joyriding. He's just visionary. So they were and they sewed fig leaves together. I really got tickled as I was looking at this message. I think I got a kind of a word of knowledge here. The first words Eve said to Adam after they sewed the fig leaves together, does this fig leaf make my butt look big? What do you think? That's another deep thought from your pastor. Okay. Watch this. Now, every day, can you imagine the privilege of enjoying a walk with God on this planet every day? Don't that make you want to go back to that system before sin? Don't you have some questions you just ask for God? My son told me this week, he said, if I were God, I would reveal myself and I would straighten out this mess and I wouldn't let all these young children starve to death. I said, son, how many kids do you feed? I said, and how much charity? And he gives, he's a charitable young man, but I said, could you give more? And he said, yep. I said, well, then that's kind of hypocritical. He said, now let's don't start name calling. I said, you know, son, we live in a system where it's a fallen state, and they heard the sound of God walking in the garden, and they hid themselves. That's the covenant where the system we're under now is a sin. The fall of man brought this for us to know that good and evil and all, you know, that brought that on. And I'm sure if Eve hadn't sinned, someone would. And you have to think, well, what if Adam hadn't taken the fruit, and would that be different? And would, you know, how? But it didn't. It happened this way. This is the system we live under, Mom. And guess what? Here Eve is under this perfect system where she walks every day with God, and she still failed. And for you to believe that you're going to walk without falling and failing, that's unrealistic. Happy Mother's Day. It's just not realistic. She didn't have an ex in Texas or nothing. She didn't have a mother-in-law, a father-in-law. They had a father, but they didn't have you know, neighbors next door, or drug addicts in their town, or gangs. They didn't have any of that. They're in a perfect environment that God created and put everything that they needed here. Everything that they needed here. And she still missed the mark. And so will you. It's a part of life. God knows it's a part of life. You don't expect perfection from anyone else, do you? Don't expect it from yourself. Strive. We should all strive to live a holy life and live next to God. And we do that through getting the Word and having that strong relationship with our Father. But we don't need to hide ourselves or be ashamed when we fall. We need to run to Him and repent. Because He said, I know you'll make mistakes, but I sent Jesus. I sent the new covenant. And under that, you can fall and still live an abundant life. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard a voice in the garden. I was afraid. See the difference now when we sin? We don't want to stay there because that's how we look God. Now we're afraid all of a sudden. The God that loves us and has given us abundant life and we're living in full of joy and hope and happiness and all of a sudden we look at Him when we walk in sin, we look at Him in a different way, in a different vision. Remember the guy with one talent? He was the only one that looked at God as an unjust man. Everybody else served God and used what He gave them, and they entered into His joy. I'm telling you, when we walk in there, so it's why it's important for us not to stay in unforgiveness, not to stay in bitterness, not to stay in jealousy, not to stay in lust or greed or whatever it might be that might try to come in and plague you. Don't stay there. Don't stay there, because you won't see God in the true light. I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the answer should have been, yes, sir, I did. When God asked him a question, did you eat? Did he mention any? Did God mention anything about Eve in this question? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Simple answer, isn't it? Yes or no? Answer should be yes. But guess what he does to the woman? He threw her under the bus. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me. You might want to take her back to the factory, close her up and get another rib. This one has some defects. Threw her under the bus. Now the fact was, you know what? She was guilty, wasn't she? But isn't it something? Let me tell you something. Sometimes, ladies, we're going to throw you on the bus. Just don't forget, you picked us. We're God's answer to prayer. So pick wisely. But then you're going to have grace. Because we will throw you on the bus from time to time when it's easier. Because we have faults and flaws too. The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. The Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman throws the serpent under the bus. How many knows we are the leader of our home? If we throw people on the bus, you're going to train your wife? That's what we do around here. We throw people on the bus. If you stand up and say, yes, sir, I did eat. Yes, sir, I did miss the mark. How many knows they'll learn that, you know what, we take authority over our mistakes. The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. That's the truth, isn't it? But that's not the question. It's not the question. Listen, when God comes and we miss the mark, just say, yes, sir, I did miss the mark. But I love you and I repent. And if you don't have the strength to turn from it and get loose from it, then ask Him for help to get loose from it. That's what He came for. He came to give you power that you can live above what you can live on your own. If we hadn't needed that, He wouldn't have sent Jesus. And so just ask. And you shall receive, it says. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will pour out enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And you shall bruise his head, and you shall bruise his heel. And that's what Jesus did. He came and he bruised his head. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Under the old system, before sin, it appears that there was no pain in childbirth. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be awesome? But you're not under that system. Your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Under the old system, evidently there God just ruled over everybody. And he said, now the new system is, since you took and ate, here's the new system. Wouldn't that be sweet? You know what I love about God? He set it up so we can rule. We're accountable guys, but he set it up where if he said, husbands, love your wives. And if we lead with love, they're pretty happy campers. And if they're not, God will straighten them out. Because if you lead with love and not judgmental attitude or something, you know, some selfish ambition or something that, you know, he says, it'll work. It'll work. When God addresses slavery in the Bible, he just tells slaves how to be good slave and how to be obedient. He tells the masters how to love their slaves and be nice to them. He don't, you know, that's under the old system that at the time. And so he just addressed everything we need is in this scripture where we don't have to walk in condemnation anymore. And I hope every mother today leaves free in Jesus' name. because you have the ability through the power of Jesus Christ. You don't have to leave here today with hurt and bitterness and suffering and all this stuff that sometimes we deal with. You don't have to leave here today because Jesus Christ gave you a Mother's Day present today that's full of grace and mercy. And he said, you know what, I can give you a peace that passes understanding. You won't even know why you leave this place so happy. You just know that you're full of Jesus Christ and you've emptied yourself out from who you are. Oh, the wonderful cross, they sang this morning. To Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree of which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat, cursed is the ground for your sake. So the thorns, the thistles, the stickers, you know, that's what we get. Can you imagine a world that's just, there's no weeds in your garden? Wouldn't that be great? Now let me tell you something. There's always weeds and thorns and pain and suffering when we don't line up with God's Word and walk in it. So just line up best you can. That's all. That's all anybody can do. Just the best you can do is the best you can do according to God's Word. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. You shall eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, and for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Yesterday I was putting a little ring around some trees in our front yard, and there was Bermuda grass. I just put in a new lawn. The Chickasaws came out and installed this new lawn this week, and I thought, man, if that Bermuda grass wasn't here, that would be awesome. It's taken root in the wrong place. It's in my flower garden. That's the way the weeds are, moms. I'm sorry. We're going to have to deal with weeds while we're here, and you know, and the weeds in your life and the things happen. People die, people divorce, people hurt, people kill, people get on drugs. That's the way it is under this system. But here's what I want to give you. You don't have to live there. Adam and Eve didn't stay there. God made provisions for them, and he's making provisions for you to move forward. It says, and then Adam called his wife's name Eve. You know what? She missed the mark, but she's still called Eve because she was the mother of all living. How many knows you're going to miss the mark, and we're still going to call you mom, and still going to be proud of you and still honor you and love you and give you a rose and give you the respect that you, even when you miss the mark. That's what God did. That's the example our Father showed to the first mother of all living. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin. They didn't have them all, so God just made them some clothes. Hey, ladies, maybe when we get to heaven, God will make you a whole new wardrobe. Just go up to the throne and say, you did it for Adam and Eve. Can I have some new robes, please? Just a thought. And he'll say, you've been talking to Pastor Jack again. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like us. He has become like us. Can you imagine all the hurt and pain and suffering our Father and Jesus sees every day? All that they know, they've become like us to know good and evil. And now at least he put his hands also to the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he had taken. And he drove the man out and placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned to every way to guard the way of the tree of life. But still yet, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. The first Mother's Day you're looking at. After the failure, after the sin, God still took his sovereign will and moved it forward. And I'll tell you something, he's still going to do the same with you. There's a couple little clips I cut out and I thought was kind of neat that I'll close with. But before I do, I just wanted to remind you that Eve is the mother of all living. And Sarah was the matriarch of the Jewish people, God's chosen people, Sarah. And remember Sarah? Sarah was a pretty enduring woman, and she loved Abraham. She called him Lord. She loved him and was tried to be an obedient wife. He gave her away twice, bless his heart, because he was afraid. I thought, if I'd have gave Jana away twice, I don't think she would have stayed with me anymore. Once, maybe, because of fear. Twice, she was a great woman, But you know, Sarah had doubts, and in her doubt, her voice that she heard was in childbearing, wasn't it? God had made him a promise, but Sarah couldn't wait. And so what'd she do? She said, I've got a young maiden. She looks like she could bear children. Take her. And that's where their problems started. You know what? Here's the matriarch of the Jews, and God's chosen people, and she's making mistakes, and God's still got a sovereign plan for them, because eventually he's going to give them a little Isaac. He's going to go ahead and fulfill his promise anyway. Some of you moms that wonder, will God ever fulfill his promise to me, and can I ever be anything? Yes, you're on a sovereign track. You're on a sovereign path, and God has you on here, and he's going to see you through. Just like he did with Eve and her faults and failures and Sarah. And then it's not good enough when God does finally come and he says to Abraham, okay, it's your time and you're going to have a child now. Remember what Sarah did? She didn't bow down and say, oh, thank you, and tears of joy. Remember what she did? She laughed. She looked down at her old body and said, you got to be kidding me. She passed her childbearing years. Can you imagine if God gave a word and Dorothy had us another, you know, well, I'm going to have Dorothy we're going to impregnate her, and she's going to grow the next pastor of this church. Wow. Here's the first story. Fred and Frank. You moms remind me of Fred and Frank. One summer, I worked on a farm caring for 100 chickens and 2 goslings, little geese. We have those down at the lake where we live, just pretty little things. Oh, no, we seen them in San Antonio, wasn't it? Just pretty little. And the big old boats coming by, them mama's boy, they're just quacking and taking care of them. So there's 100 chickens and two little goslings, Fred and Frank, who grew up in a chicken's world. They ate the same food as the chickens and shared the shed with them. One day, I formed a plan to set geese free in a nearby pond. They were uncooperative as I hauled them out of the pen. Fred and Frank landed on the pond with their wings flapping and their feet treading water. For the first time, they were enjoying the freedom of what it meant to be geese, not chickens. Even though Fred and Frank were free, they could not ignore the calls of the 100 chickens. It took the geese no time at all to find their way back to the pen. They squawked and honked, trying to find their way back into the enclosure. Even though I took them back to the pond, the geese once again returned to the familiarity of the chicken world. At times like this, or at times many of us are like Fred and Frank, we struggle to accept the life of freedom God offers, but sometimes something holds us back. Still, God keeps opening the gate, offering new life. He delights us to live in abundant freedom. You know why this reminds me of you, mothers? What? It's the bond that you create with your children. All, like I mentioned, all the little thousands of things that you do for your children, it creates such a strong bond between you and your kids, like no other on this planet. Like no other. Here's a perfect picture. I can guarantee you this football season, there'll be a Super Bowl champion. And there'll be a 300-pound lineman stand up at the height of his career, winning the Super Bowl. The game's almost over. It's in hand. The camera will pan on him, 20 million viewers, and he'll say, hi, Mom! I've never once heard one of them say, hi, Dad! Never. Because you create a bond that's just incredible. I think, what is this guy? What is he? He's at the height of his career. He's got fortune. He's got fame. He's got everything. But if you give me an opportunity before all the millions, I'm gonna honor my mother. That's you. That's what you do. That's who you are. And I guarantee you, in here, if we had the chance and we was on national TV and we was fortune to fame, we could, hey, Mom! Because you just built something that God's put something in you, and you're on this voyage. It's ordained. And here's the last story I want to read, and we'll close with this. And it says, it's A.W. Tozer wrote this. It's Ocean Voyage Illustrates Free Will and Sovereignty. Free will and sovereignty. And I thought, this is you moms, you know, you're on, and we all are, but this is your day, and you're on an ordained trip. The sovereign will of God versus free will. And it says, in knowledge of the holy A.W. Tozer attempted to reconcile the seemingly contradictory beliefs, God's sovereignty and man's free will. An ocean liner, here it is, an ocean liner leaves New York, bound for Liverpool. Its destination has been determined by the proper authorities. So they're on a course. Nothing can change it. This is at least a faint picture of sovereignty. On board the liner are scores of passengers. These are not in, they're not in chains. Neither are their activities determined for them by decree. They are completely free to move about as they will. They eat, sleep, play, lounge about the deck, read, talk, all together as they please. But all the while, the great liner is carrying them steadily toward a predetermined post or port. Both freedom and sovereignty are present here, and they do not contradict. So it is, I believe, with man's freedom and the sovereignty of God. The mighty liner of God's sovereignty designed keeps its steady course over the sea of history. That's what he did for Eve. This is my plan, and you missing the mark won't affect it. There'll be some consequences. It'll be different, but he's still going to carry out his plan. That's the way it is with you, Mom. You're on an ordained sovereign trip. God has guided you here and to your family and wherever you are. And all this time there will be joy and pain and happiness and suffering and sickness and health, and they'll be all mixed in. But I'm telling you, God has, he knows where you are and he knows where he needs to take you, and he's going to take you there. So don't you give up. And don't you fret. Happy Mother's Day. Father, thank you for our moms here today. I pray, Lord, that every mother here today that's struggling, thinking I'm missing the mark here, I pray for them today. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help them know that you know right where they are and that you have an ordained, God-given port that they're headed towards. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just remind them that you love them right where they are. And in their struggles today, Lord, as they reach up to you, I pray that you'll reach down to them and help them overcome today. Whether it's pain or suffering or hurt or loss or lack, whatever it may be in their life that they're struggling with today, let them know today that, you know what? Every mom, including the first mom, has missed the mark and it's okay. You sent Jesus so we wouldn't have to stay there. You sent Jesus so we could be free. And today, by the help and the power and the grace of God, saturate them with that and help them to be free today. And for those trying times that will be in the near future, even in the distant future, I pray this prayer over our moms today. And those that will be moms, I pray this prayer over them today that when they miss the mark, God, you'll remind them of a sovereign God that has a plan for them and that they'll go forth in the beauty of the grace of God. In Jesus' name, I pray this prayer over them. And all the church said, amen. Happy Mother's Day.